I'm Aaron, your host and guide to wandering Middle-earth, especially for first-time readers of Tolkien's works. Visit ringspodcast.com to find my free downloadable guides for reading The Silmarillion and other works by J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, let's wander. Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide. If you have listened to Lore of the Rings for any length of time, you'll know how much I, your host Aaron, the Middle-earth Wanderer, how much I love Lord of the Rings. It has been such a big part of my life for 20-plus years, ever since I was a 14-year-old boy sitting in a dark movie theater seeing The Fellowship for the first time. Lord of the Rings has influenced my life since then. So I am always shocked and thrilled and just love to talk with people who have not experienced Lord of the Rings or Middle-earth the same way that I have. So today I'm joined by two individuals, the hosts of Nerd Best Friends podcast, Rob and Annalise. Rob is a big Lord of the Rings fan, has been for a long, long time, but Annalise is not. We're going to explore a little bit about this today and what it means to have a podcast about nerding out when you have no experience with Lord of the Rings or a lot of experience with Lord of the Rings and some of the fun conversations that happen with that. So Rob and Annalise, welcome to Lord of the Rings, and thank you for wandering Middle Earth with me today.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I'm Rob. And as soon as you said, you know, being a 14-year-old kid and experiencing Lord of the Rings for the first time, that was me as well, except it was with the books because we were still quite a long ways for the amazing movies coming out. But yes, ever since then, as far as Lord of the Rings stuff, I know I've read The Hobbit probably four or five times. Lord of the Rings, I've done the trilogy twice in reading and then kind of stopped when the movies came out. I was like, these movies are really great. I don't need to read the books anymore. I'll just watch the movies almost every year over and over again from where I'm at. So that's mine. But then, Annalise, you had another experience, I think, this week in preparing.
Yeah. You know, thanks for having us, Aaron. So happy to be here and nerding out with you. Yeah, I did not read fantasy books growing up. I was Stephen King, horror comic books all the way. And so those thick fantasy books really never called to me. Also, unlike Rob, I didn't play D&D when we were young. I would watch friends play. I remember hanging out while Rob was playing with friends, but it never really kind of grabbed me. So when the movies came out in 2000s, it's with a chunk of things, even Harry Potter. Once Harry Potter started coming out, the time commitment was so daunting for someone. I was a band director for 19 years. My life was my band program. Mm. And the idea of having these, you know, the first movie unaltered is 3 hours long. And my ability to go to the movies disappeared in 2000 when I became a band director full time. And just the daunting idea of having 3 hours to watch a movie just became too big. And then as more and more came out, it's bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's interesting. I did watch Fellowship of the Ring for the first time. And I finished it about 30 minutes before we started recording this morning because I had to watch in chunks because I still don't have 3 hours of time. In fact, I was like, washing dishes and making breakfast while it was playing on my phone the last 30 minutes before.
Dishes while it was playing on your phone. Annalise, that is not the way to experience The Lord of the Rings.
But that's the time I have. And that is, to me, that's the only thing. It was amazing. It was beautiful. We can get into it. But the time, having 3 hours of time to set aside and watch it, just I don't have it. So
This is interesting. I was going to ask you, Annalise, like, what is sort of holding you back? Because obviously you're a big nerd. I mean, before we started recording, you were telling me a lot about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You love that show. On your podcast feed, you guys, you cover a wide range of topics from the 80s and the 90s, you know, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Marvel. You've got everything on there except Lord of the Rings. And so I was going to ask, what is holding you back? Is it literally just the time commitment to watch 100% the movie or read the
film? All right. And now that I, you know, in the pandemic, I started playing D&D because I moved back home and then I couldn't hang out with my best friend. Mm-hmm. So we started playing D&D online through Zoom. And now I think my understanding of this world and fantasy has grown through that game to where now I'm watching this and it's basically one big game of D&D. I can hear Rob's voice DMing a game with this movie, right? Like, so I can, it's beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was interesting. I love what they did with orcs, making them so grotesque and scary. And all the little classes of people would not have registered with me 20 years ago. And it might have been a little overwhelming, but really it's the time. It's 100% the time commitment. And the Harry Potter thing, I had a friend that said, you know, you're doing all this stuff for your dissertation. So the year I did my dissertation, I read the 7 Harry Potter books. I did 1 hour when I woke up and 1 hour before going to bed, which was usually 2 or 3 in the morning as I was writing my dissertation as a brain break. And I was able to fly through the 7 Harry Potter books and then watch the films once we hit the pandemic. So it's just a time thing.
It really is a commitment to go into that world. And I think in some ways, Annalise, you're sort of, you might, maybe you'd be surprised to hear this, but Tolkien himself often would lament at how little time he had to dedicate to Middle Earth and Lord of the Rings. I mean, he was a busy professor. He was bogged down in teaching responsibilities, research responsibilities, admin responsibilities. On top of that, he's a husband and a father and community and all these different things. And so it actually took him a long time to have a manuscript of the Lord of the Rings ready. There's a lot of time needed to wander into Middle Earth. You know, you look at the extended edition of the movies, and those are not short. Those are not short. And just the regular theatrical versions are absolutely not short. So I can understand if it's not something that is nostalgic or something that you're not naturally inclined to look at anyway, and you feel like, oh man, 3 hours, that's a big time commitment. I could see how, okay, maybe there's some other things you could be doing, like washing the dishes while you watch.
I can also, like, to what Aaron just said, is that, like, when you rewatch it now, Rob, you are familiar, and if you zone out for a minute, you know what's happening, right? And you will maybe zone back into a part you really like and zone back out. I don't have that pleasure in watching it for the first time. Like,
which is why you should sit on your couch in the dark with your sound loud and watching the thing. Oh,
some
my
popcorn and Dr. Pepper.
Right.
I did that a little bit last night for an hour and a half, and then I had to do other things. So I got a good half of the film with popcorn in my lap on my big screen. Yeah. I still use headphones because it's better than any sound system we have in our house. So, but yeah, it's the time commitment. So, the story itself is beautiful.
All right. So let's dig into that a little bit. The story itself is beautiful. What's sort of your initial reaction after you've seen Fellowship of the Ring partially, not entirely, but partially? What's sort of your initial reaction to Lord of the Rings?
I sat the entire time wondering, did this come first or did D&D come first? And toggle that question. I know the answer, but they were so intricately related after now I'm 5 years into playing D&D that it made fantasy make more sense to me. And these different worlds, and you have to accept there's like, this is the road of this and this is the land of this. And they give no further explanation in the movie. I'm sure in the book, you've got a really lengthy explanation of what these places are, and you have to accept those from the onset. I think I would have struggled with that before I started playing D&D, right? But I really, you get into the characters real quick. You are constantly guessing who's on the right side, who's on the wrong side. Oh, the way that was phrased was really interesting. I was comparing Gandalf to Dumbledore, like I think people typically do. Gandalf wins hands down, by the way. He's pretty transparent with what he needs.
100% and what he needs correct. To give to,
right? Like Dumbledore's confounding and confusing. But I enjoyed it. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. The cinematography and how they lined up those shots. I texted Rob during some of it saying, you know, I can see why New Zealand became such a hot tourist attraction after this. And then I also wondered, you know, would CGI now make this even more visibly stunning? Or Rob made a good point in our text chain there in saying that we'd use CGI for too much. They wouldn't go on location in New Zealand. Yeah. It wouldn't be as glorious and beautiful. Yeah. But first reactions are, this is an epic, epic story. Yeah. And there's a lot to digest. And there's some that I missed. I have no doubt if I went back and watched it again right now in bits and chunks that, oh, I didn't pick up on that the first time.
Yeah, it certainly is epic. It has a grand scale to it, an intricate story, a beautiful story. And you pose an interesting question with the visualization of the films and the CGI. And the funny thing is we actually do have a proof positive or a proof negative, if you will, in this case with Lord of the Rings, which was in the Hobbit films. Right. They did use a lot of CGI, and that is one of the things that fans often dock points, if you will, from the Hobbit films is too much use of CGI, and the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings films were just so groundbreaking and visually stunning in that regard. And I love that you picked up on that and just your first initial reaction, even while you were washing the dishes. But
it was
Rob,
only the last bit. It was only the last bit.
So Rob, let's swing back to you a little bit. You talked about this before, but what was your first introduction to Tolkien and Lord of the Rings?
I had an uncle who was always bringing me stuff. He was in the Marine Corps and he traveled to all different places. So when he was in Japan and he'd come back, I would get like Japanese stuff. And when he was in the Philippines, he would come back and I would get like Philippine stuff. Like I always, whenever I saw Uncle Warren, he would give me something. Mm. And one of the times he did, he gave me this beautiful hardback edition of The Hobbit. And, you know, he's like, oh, you know, you're 12 years old. That's how old I was when I read this book. And you're going to love it. And it's going to be great. And so, and I did. It was, you know, it was a gift from Uncle Warren. So, of course, I'm going to read this book, even though it's probably the thickest, chunkiest book I've ever read at this point. And got into it and like, oh, there's trolls and there's magic swords and all this kind of stuff. And then I was hooked and, you know, let him know, oh, my gosh, I read the book and it was so great. Oh, well, there's more. And then went to the bookstore and got a... it was one of those box sets where all three of the little paperbacks were like jammed into the, you know, the box cover thing and just wore those out, right? The spines just completely folded and messed up and gone through. And I remember it, you know, being probably right at the beginning of high school or whatever. And I was kind of busy with other stuff and kind of getting through it. And I remember it being a challenging read, right? It was written, you know, 100 years before, so not quite that much, 50 years before. So the language and stuff was a little challenging, you know, for me, but I got the story and I loved Gimli. And that I definitely remember Gimli being my favorite character throughout the thing when I was a kid. And like I said, we would play Dungeons and Dragons. And so I'd always, you know, I'd be the dwarf and I'd be the dwarfiest dwarf that ever could because I love Gimli. And that was my deal there. And then when the films came out, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. You know, they're doing a movie about one of my favorite things, and went and saw the movies as, you know, as soon as I could when they came out. I don't remember it being like life changing when I went to go see the movies. I remember them being very long and I remember them being very good, but it wasn't until I could get, you know, the DVD set, which of course I did right away, and started re-watching them and watching, you know, the stories unfold a little more, that I thought, no, this is important. This is in some ways even a better storytelling than the book can be, as far as like getting people into it and being able to revisit it more and more. So I've got this movie on extended edition DVD, extended edition Blu-ray, or all three of these movies. And then a lot of times, though, now you can get the extended edition streaming, and I'll just flip them on when they're streaming too.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just watch the extended edition streaming, and that's been an annual marathon tradition in my household for 20 plus years. And like you say, it ages so well, and you just go deeper and you pull more out of it every time you engage with the story. Tolkien once wrote an essay and gave a speech. He called it On Fairy Stories, and he outlined these principles of what makes a really good story, or what makes a really good fantasy story, what we might call fantasy. And one of those things that he talked about is it has to contain an element of truth, but it can't go so far as to be like didactic or allegorical. Like, he felt like that's going way too far. You don't want to like preach to your reader. But you have to have these elements of truth and these characters who have to go through these really challenging problems and act in really consistent ways, and so that you can abstract out sort of life lessons from that. And I think that's what a lot of readers and movie watchers, when they watch this and they hear Gandalf say something like, you know, so do all who live to see such times, but that's not for them to decide. All we have to do is decide what to do with the time that's given us. Like, people hear that, and so Gandalf is talking to Frodo and Frodo's despairing, but people hear that and they're like, oh, yeah, I have this challenge in my life that I didn't choose, I didn't accept. It's not my fault that I have this challenge, but what do I have to do? I just have to decide what I'm going to do. And that's one of the things that really resonates with me, at least when I watch Lord of the Rings, when I engage with that story. And so I think, Annalise, that would be part of my pitch to you, is to say it's worth the time. It's worth the time to engage with the story, if only just to find these little nuggets of truth and wisdom that I think Tolkien just was able to put into the symbolism and into the story.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I know in planning to come guest on the show, Rob had texted some things that would be of interest to him in terms of leadership style. And both of us are educational leaders now. We're both out of the classroom and are in management level, you know, leading adults who teach kids. Mm-hmm. And leadership is a huge piece of both of our lives now. So, you know, what you just quoted, I actually rewound and listened to a couple of times because there are some of those nuggets where, you know, they're talking. I saw that as him making sure he's overheard by the rest of the party as well, right? Like there's layers of complexity to that exact quote. He's not just telling Frodo, he's telling the rest of the group and he's telling us as the audience and some of these really poignant life lessons. And I have zero doubt that it's worth it. Like I never questioned that. And I think that's helped Rob not be so hard on me about it. But I will say the timing for me is right now. And I don't know that I would have appreciated as much if I had watched it 10 or 20 years ago.
So, Rob, I'm sure that the two of you have had this conversation many, many times, but I would love to hear your pitch to Annalise to convince her to take all the time needed to watch all the films, extended edition. Let's hear that pitch.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay. I haven't prepared this because it always goes in fits and starts. But the pitch for watching these movies and watching them in their entirety is because you're going to get not only a full story of a fantasy epic, but you're going to get those character moments for developing all of these different people and all of their different stories and backgrounds and where they come from. And it's going to be now, like in today's Annalise, who plays Dungeons and Dragons twice a week in a high fantasy setting, you get to see what it's like for these characters to kind of level up or go through their entire adventure arc and go from a beginning and an end. It's also an amazing ensemble piece when we talk about like the other stories we watch and the movies we like for like comic book movies and large things like this. As far as an ensemble piece and everyone getting to take their time and have their character develop and go through a beginning and an end, you get to see that. Beyond that, I know that you look at things with a literary eye because you're such a voracious reader. And I think that there are themes in this story that was written back in the 30s that some things we don't see anymore today. For instance, and Aaron mentions, like, it's not an allegory. It's not a World War I allegory, but there are certainly themes and lessons learned by Tolkien through his military experience. And one of those things that we see in this movie that we don't see in other places is a very pure and true form of platonic love. Sometimes you'll see like memes and like silly things like, oh, you know, Frodo and Sam, because they're best friends, they're in love. And it's not that. It is a story that shows a bond and a platonic love between characters that you're not going to get in modern movies and storytelling now. There's also all kinds of other like big symbolic and big capital T themes of, you know, what does leadership mean? What does war mean? What do, you know, these kinds of things, like what is a monster and how do we view that? There's, it's such a big story. And yes, it is a million hours long, but because of that length, it can breathe and it can develop not only with those characters, but those themes to come all the way around to when, I know when I finish it, I kind of have like this almost exhausting, like, wow, that was a lot. Let's do it again kind of attitude. And that would be what I would want to sell.
Let me just tie on that last little idea there, Rob, of sort of that cathartic moment that you have after you read The Lord of the Rings. I have had so many people reach out to me, and for some people, it's reading the whole series, like you just explained. For some people, it's a certain scene that after they read it, like they have that just catharsis that comes where they're just like, they feel like that emotion has been purged from them and they can feel refreshed and recovered to continue to move on. So I love that. Annalise, your response.
The same thing happens to me because I am once again, this is a running joke between myself and Rob, is I am behind and overwhelmed by the MCU. So when I first moved back to Santa Barbara, I had seen maybe two of the 24 movies. Endgame had already been released and I had seen like two movies. So we did a thing when I first moved back, once a week, we watched them in a chronological order versus release order. And once a week, watched it. And then I caught up. And then the pandemic happened and a bunch of movies were halted. I am once again really, really far behind. I have not seen Wakanda Forever. That's how far behind I am. And now as they continue to release more, it becomes more and more overwhelming. So I'm hearing the themes. What both of what you said rang to me is what happens to me when I watch Buffy. And when I say watch Buffy, I've probably watched the series dozens of times at this point, but I don't watch it. It is on because I already know what happens. And same thing that I was describing to Rob, I know there's going to be some moments I look over and be like, yeah, I love that moment. And then I'm back to doing whatever it is I'm doing. But always I do sit and watch the final episode. I take a few breaths and I start the first episode because one of the strongest things Joss Whedon did was know exactly how that story was going to end. And if you have that fresh in your mind, it is painted all in the pilot episode. And so I see that same thing where now you have the arcs of all these characters. What I found really interesting in this first movie is we talk a lot about the pack of five. You have your five party, your five person party with all
your
these
five man band.
But this is the five man party with four hobbits tagging along. But what happens to me is I know it's more than just the extended movies. I know the extended movies are 16 hours when you put them back to back to back. And then you have the Hobbit movie. And then you have this Amazon series that's
Rings
out right now.
Power.
And then you have,
yeah.
Yeah. So it just feels overwhelming. Doesn't mean I'm going to continue to avoid it. I've just got to find the time. You know, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to catch the flu, but maybe I catch the flu and watch it. But I would have the time if I had forced to stay home. So it's just one of those things that I'll add on as an option with pockets of time. But I did enjoy this first film. It's almost an anxiety panic when I think about how much time is needed to really, like, honestly, to do right by Rob and sit in a dark room with the speakers up all the way and a little popcorn and just sit there and give it all my attention.
Yeah.
It's a daunting idea.
Yeah.
So I'll work on it.
Yeah.
And that's probably my fault, right? Which is, I don't know if you're going to give me a chance for a rebuttal, Aaron, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Go ahead and rebuttal.
It's probably that value that I've been placing on it, because when you talk about like, oh, Marvel movies and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff, like, for me, that's like, oh, that's like trash. That's just like junk food. That's fun. Lord of the Rings is for real. Like, it's for real, Annalise. I have such a value on it that I've built it up probably to be more than it like ever will be for you. And you're like, well, I can't, because I'll let Rob down if I don't love this movie. And to be clear, you will. But also, okay. I didn't mean to put up this barrier in front of it for you.
And I don't know that it's just you, right? Like, I feel that way. The reason why I feel that way about Marvel movies is because I have to give it my attention if I'm going to understand what's going on. And that's our busy lives right now. Being able to sit down and give something my full attention is really, really hard. So it's my own value I place on myself. It doesn't make sense to watch this on my phone while I'm making breakfast, but the time constraint helped. Saying like, I want to finish the first film. I committed to finishing the first film before we recorded today. That was actually helpful, right? You talk about being task-oriented or goal-minded, which we are. That was helpful. Did I get the full experience? I think so. Was it like the best full experience? No. So that's what it comes down to. Yes, I think you'd be fine if I didn't like them, because you rag on Buffy all the time, knowing how like impactful that was to me as like an 18-year-old girl at the time. It doesn't bother me that you trash it and we joke about it. If I felt that way about Lord of the Rings, I think our friendship would be fine. We'd still be nerd best friends. But I can tell you that I don't hate it. Yeah. I thought it was engaging and visually stunning, and a movie that's visually stunning like that, I could have on while I am doing other chores mm-hmm. around the house and mm-hmm. stop and look and be like, oh yeah, I remember that scene. Oh, look at this fight scene, which the fight scenes were really great. I'm really big on whether or not fight scenes are authentic and real and well choreographed. And there wasn't a single one that didn't have danger around every corner, that wasn't choreographed really well. I mean, there's a lot of really great things about the logistics of the film itself as much as the storyline. And when you have a good movie like that, it's worth watching.
Yeah, I love that you say that. Peter Jackson, that's his bread and butter, was sort of the horror, the macabre, the battle. And it really comes out. And so let me just give you a little tease of one of the absolute best battle scenes of all cinematography. This isn't just me. This is like a lot of fans say this, but it comes at the end of the Two Towers film. So it's the Battle of Helm's Deep, and it's definitely worth it. And I know you've just finished Fellowship of the Ring, and I think as a wise Jedi once said, you've taken your first steps into a larger world. So that's fabulous. Rob, before we started recording, you mentioned your favorite character is Theoden.
I did. So when I was a kid, as I mentioned, my favorite character was Gimli, because mm-hmm. he's just a powerhouse of attitude and fun. But as I have matured and as I've watched these movies over and over again, and as Annalise said, like moving through life and serving different roles, is Theoden. When I look at the films, and I'm looking like at the different leaders and how the different leaders address the different problems or their plans and the people that they work with, right? We've got Saruman and the way that he does things with the orcs, and we've got, I think, Treebeard is another one to really look at, as far as, and we can even get into like politics on that one. But Theoden has been my favorite character for quite a while now, because Theoden is a character that is stubborn and he has beliefs, but then he learns and he changes, and he is able to, everyone rallies behind the king. When the king comes mm-hmm. back, it's Theoden King is back and we'll follow him wherever. And he makes a bad decision. But because he recognizes that and sees the suffering of his people that, you know, led to, you know, the orcs overrunning everything, he can change his mind. And he can change his mind about Rohan, he could change his mind, you know, about everything, and finally light those beacons and do the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he has that turn. And I think that's important, because in regular life, sometimes we double down, and sometimes it's difficult to admit that you make mistakes, especially mm-hmm. when you're in a position where a lot of people are looking at you and the decisions that you're making. Mm-hmm. But I think if you build that trust and you're transparent and authentic with people, you can change your mind, and you can instead rally your team again to come to the rescue, you know, of others, and to make those different decisions. And I think we see that. I see that in my own life as kind of an inspiration and something to keep in mind. But also when I look around the things that happen on more of a global stage or a political stage, it's just so frustrating sometimes to think like, just stop doubling down, just admit that you made a mistake. Change course, that people will follow that. And I think that's another thing about it as well, is like, if you are authentic and you are growing, people will go along.
Yeah, that will resonate with people, especially in, not so much on the macro level, but as you said, on just the micro, like within our own lives, if we can admit the mistakes that we've made and try to recover and change and do what we feel is best with the information or the learnings that we've gathered, I think that's really inspiring. And Theoden himself is an excellent character for that. You know, he feels a very heroic sacrifice king type role. And Annalise is probably like, I don't even know who this guy is, because he doesn't show up in Fellowship of the Ring film. Nope. He'll show up in the Two Towers. He plays some really pivotal roles there. And then even in the last film, Return of the King, like he leads a great charge that is really heroic and it's just so amazing to watch and to engage with.
And just like you say, like, you don't have to be you know, leading a company to be like, this is something like, you're a mom, you're a dad. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at the decisions you're making for your household? Are you growing and changing and evolving and being a good team player? Or are you doubling down and being like, well, this is the decision we're made, so I'm going to be thick-headed and keep moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rob and Annalise, tell me a little bit about Nerd Best Friends, and if a Lord of the Rings listener wanted to find you, where would they go?
Yeah, we're on everywhere you get podcasts. We do have a YouTube channel. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, where we met you. We are at Nerd Best Friends. And then, Rob, you have to remind me Blue Sky again, because it's new for us. What is our handle on
it's
Blue Sky?
It's NBF Podcast on Blue Sky. It didn't quite line up with everything else, but we're working on it. However, nerdbestfriends.com, nerdbestfriends.com. That's the easiest way to get. You can listen right from there. You can get links to everything else. And Aaron, I would implore, I beg more listeners from your show to come over and send us messages about wanting Annalise to watch and read more Lord of the Rings so we could talk about more Lord of the Rings on our podcast. It'd be a huge deal for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
Going over nerd mail. So nerdbestfriends.com. And also you can email us podcast@nerdbestfriends.com.
There you go.
Send us some nerd mail and we'll be happy to read it in our upcoming episodes.
Yeah, let's convince Annalise to watch all the Lord of the Rings films. Let's do that. In fact, maybe we need to say, okay, maybe we need to get Annalise to commit to a live stream where she's going to watch the films live. Maybe this is some bonus Patreon content for you. If you get 100 patrons, then boom, we're going to watch Lord of the Rings live and get Annalise's raw reaction. We're going to make her sit for all 4 hours. No pausing. Of four hours of one film, no bathroom breaks, nothing. Yeah,
only. If we get enough Patreons, then I can do that. I can call in sick from work.
Exactly.
There we go. That's awesome. The goal.
Awesome. That's funny. That's funny. Rob is waiting for us to do our Lord of the Rings episode. So, Aaron, we hope to have you on our show when we do that episode as well.
Fantastic. I'd be honored somewhere and humbled to be invited to join you on that.
So one of the things that we do on our show every episode is our segment of what is the nerdiest thing you did this week? So if you don't mind, since we're together, Aaron, I'll start with you. What's the nerdiest thing you did this week?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a tough one for me because the obvious thing is I created some Tolkien podcast episodes this week. So
right.
That's pretty obvious. So I'll go a little less obvious. We're recording this. It was recently Valentine's Day. And so for Valentine's Day, I have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. So the one sort of Valentine's Day type movie that we can all agree on is The Princess Bride. So we watched The Princess Bride together as a family. And then afterwards, my wife and I watched Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Oh, yes.
For the first time.
I know that one.
Yes.
It is
love
fun.
It.
Right?
I had heard about it for a while, never engaged with it. I love Pride and Prejudice. Great, great book. Wonderful film adaptations. But Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, just whole new level. So I'm going to say that's the nerdiest thing I did in the last year.
That's awesome. What a wonderful Valentine's Day choice.
How about you, Rob? What's the nerdiest thing you did this week?
Nerdiest thing I did this week was, so I am a tabletop miniatures gamer, and we've got paint up the little figures and build models and stuff. And so we have a text chat with our little group of my miniature painting friends and stuff. And I stole this idea from something that Games Workshop did, which was they put together like a bingo card of modeling. And of course, for them, it's all, you know, advertising and marketing, like, oh, I bought this new set. Like, well, I'm not going to do that. But I could make a fun bingo card for my friends. So I designed a bingo card that's like 5x5 with all the different squares. And it's like, paint a sci-fi mini, play a fantasy war game, play, you know, read the lore section of a book, paint a fantasy model, paint a set of 5 dudes like that, and put together this bingo card for the year for that group. And as we go through and we meet our little hobby goals and stuff, we could post back and forth our progress on the bingo card and see if, you know, by the end of the year, somebody hits a five in a row, or if you're an overachiever, maybe you even do like the whole blackout on
coverall
on the miniature painting and gaming bingo card.
That was really nerdy. So I am a fan of tabletop games as well. I got into mini painting because of my best friend. But my partner doesn't, she's not into sitting down for a couple hours and playing, these high fantasy type games. So Rob actually found one for me a few years ago that is a solo play game and is now like the biggest solo play game in the history of Kickstarter, and that's Final Girl. So he found it for me when they were doing series two about 4 years ago. I bought all in series one and series two, and series three just came out. I just got it a couple of weeks ago, and the nerdiest thing I did this week was unbox series three and set everything up. It is set up ready to play. I set up a game and then watched Lord of the Rings instead of playing.
Good.
But man, it maxed out. It is beautiful on my tabletop. It is horror-based, right? The trope of the final girl, and it's card-based. And it's one of the most fun games that you will enjoy losing over and over and over. And so I'm setting all that up and opening up all the things and looking at all the minis I have to paint now and all that. So that was the nerdiest thing I did this week.
All right.
Thank you to this episode's executive producer, The Old One. If you would like to support the Lore of the Rings podcast, visit ringspodcast.com/member. If you found today's Wandering of Middle-earth to be inspiring, please share this episode with a friend. Lastly, if you would like to connect with me, I am most active on Threads. Find a link to my profile at ringspodcast.com and tap the at symbol near the top. And thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.